Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got another nutty chat for you for the dog days of podcasting. With me today, I've got Mr. Jay Lengins.
Hi, Nutty. How's it going?
It's going great. How's it going with you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
So for people who listen to Flashpulp, they know you as the man of a million voices.
Yeah, I do an audiobook review with a cast of characters, and I've been known to maybe do a phone call or two with some character having something to say.
And last year for Dog Days, you tried to do as many as you could episodes of these different characters, which was hysterical. Although, yes. I don't know how you could have possibly, like, even attempted that. It was so massive.
Well, I just always hear that in my head. 30 rants for 30 days.
Yes. So much fun. So how did you start, like, when did you start doing all of these different characters in different voices?
Well, according to my mom, I started quite young when I was playing with Lego, you know, around like 5 or 6 years old, and didn't have a lot of people to play with. So, I made my own imaginary friends and would act out scenes with the characters, and they'd all have, you know, their own story arcs and what they were doing.
That's awesome. I think I did that too with like the Legos and the Fisher-Price Peoples and definitely my Barbie dolls, but I didn't have the voice, you know?
Well, it's certainly a lot of practice, and then figuring out you can make a certain sound and then trying to make it, you know, work together. The teenager from The Simpsons, where he drops the burrito in the French fryer. He's like, "I'm sorry, Mr. Simpson, but I dropped your burrito in the deep fryer. I'll get it. Ow, ow." You know, being able to modulate your voice like that.
That's pretty awesome. I'm constantly impressed. I've tried to do accents and I've tried to do voices, and I just don't have that much control over my voice. I don't have much range.
I've certainly been working it my whole life.
So did you do any like on stage acting or anything like where people saw you, or has it been mostly just over a microphone?
It's mostly been just over a microphone. I was pretty introverted in high school and junior high and didn't really want to perform in front of people. I did drama in grade 8, but it didn't really do it for me. It wasn't until later where I wanted to try and narrate an audiobook that I realized that not everybody could do as many voices as I could do.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And I can understand your whole thing with that. For me, one of my biggest fears would be ending up on TV. Like, I would never want to be on TV. I don't like the idea of having to be on stage. I mean, I've done it for work, but, you know, not like acting or anything. But for some reason, getting behind a microphone, I'm so comfortable.
I find doing a character behind a microphone so much easier. I have a lot of trouble with my regular voice and just trying to sound normal and casual when I'm recording, but with a character, I can just, you know, let go and be that person.
So that's why we hear very little of your actual voice when you're doing Masterpiece Audio Theater.
Exactly. It's more just a quiet reminder to keep stay on track and not fight.
So when you record those, do you have to take time in between the different voices, or are you just rolling them out quickly conversationally like it sounds?
I pretty much roll them out conversationally like it sounds, but I'm reading from a script. Mm-hmm. So there's cues. I just try and make it as seamless as possible. I'm a terrible editor and I don't like to edit. So as little editing as possible is good for me.
So the Ed Wood style's working for you.
Yeah.
So when you read, when you would read stories to your kids at night, do you do all the voices?
Yeah, I do. I do. I have my classic narrator voice, which is, soft British accent. And I just talk very quietly and I have them, go up and down with the sentences and make them all tired and sleepy. And then all the characters have their own individual voices. The fathers are usually gruff and angry, but not like totally angry, but, you know, stern, and the kids want to listen to them. And then the kids go for a little bit of a higher voice where, "Oh, I don't want to go outside. Please don't make me." And things like that.
Is there a favorite character that your kids have?
Tom Later, or like Tomato the Tow Truck. Mm-hmm. Lana McLean is my bestest friend ever.
That's pretty good. I hear a lot of that with, what's the name of that character that you have? The one that was upset about phones last year.
Oh, yeah, I think that's very similar to the Tom Later character.
Yeah.
Just the sort of the Southern talking, kind of like this. It's very much a parody of everything. They don't really sound like this, but you know, it's kind of funny.
Exactly. That is a great one. It always makes me laugh. Well, that and Menchik, of course.
Well, Menchik Majinovic, the Russian. Yes, he likes to cause pain and cause problems for people.
And he can't say his signature line on this podcast.
No.
That's very true. I swear.
You go, mob boss. But that's about it.
That's about it. Mob boss is horseradish.
Yeah, mob boss is horseradish.
I may have to isolate where it just says horseradish and use that as part of my swear word blooper reel.
No problem.
Because whenever somebody swears, I remove the swear and I've got a bunch of random words that my friend said and they go in place of it. So it's like taco, burrito. And
excellent.
And horseradish. I like that.
Horseradish.
So do you draw on like characters that you've seen or listened to for the different voices? Like, is Menchik based on someone, or is it a combination of people, or did it just come from the ether?
Well, some of them are trying. I'm trying to do impressions, like Jeffrey Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like Jesse Ventura. He doesn't sound like him, but that's who I picture in my head when I'm doing Jeffrey Ventura. And he's kind of crazy. You gotta watch out for those zombies. They're gonna come and eat your brains. You know, he just draws the lines out, and he's very serious. And then obviously Tom Lader is more like, you know, the Tomator character. And my Sir Hector Stewart voice is kind of, I was doing a lot of Sherlock Holmes reading when I was doing my first podcast, New Fiction Writers. And that was my Watson voice, where he would, you know, Sherlock Holmes was very nasally. I see we've solved the problem. And whereas Watson was always very gruff and answering Sherlock Holmes, really, Holmes, do you think so? And so that's sort of where he came from. And then the Scotsmen are just, you know, taking a Scottish accent and really amping it up and making it sound as parody-like as possible.
Well, I definitely prefer Jeremy Ventura to the actual Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
So there's nobody that you draw upon, like, from your life experiences, right? Like, there's not a mean school teacher or a weird uncle in there somewhere.
No, I'm the weird one.
You are the weird uncle.
I'm the weirdest one in my family, that's for sure. I definitely stand out at family gatherings.
I can totally relate to that. I just came back from a family trip and I made some comment about something or other and you could have heard a pin drop and they're like, yeah, that's only something you'd experience.
Yeah, like, been there.
I guess. It seemed normal to me. Yes, I am definitely the weirdest one in the bunch.
Yeah, well, it's good to be different, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't see that as a bad thing at all. Being normal is boring to me. I mean, everyone else is that way, so why should I?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a good compliment when you go to a party and after that everybody remembers you as the one that had all the voices, or you have something that everybody remembers.
There you go. So you're working on an audiobook right now, right?
That is correct. I'm working on Hearts of the Sun by Jennifer Meltzer.
Oh, neat. Yeah. How's that going for you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've got up to the fifth chapter recorded. And the prologue's loaded, chapter one's ready to load, and just I have Denise Lamond helping me with the editing portion of it, because like I said, I'm a terrible editor, and I'm not very disciplined when it comes to editing, so she offered to take that over for me, but yeah, it's pretty good. It's not a long book, so you know, there's only 10 chapters plus the prologue, so should be done pretty quick.
Nice, and you're the talent, not the editor.
Exactly. All I have to do is read.
I know when I recorded an audiobook, it took so much longer than I had anticipated. It was surprising to me.
Yeah, the editing, I find the editing very tedious, but then I'm also very hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to put it out, you know, as perfect as possible. So I agonize over every sentence, making sure that it sounds right.
That definitely makes sense. So are you doing different voices throughout the book or doing a straight read?
I'm doing different voices, but there's only, like, I'm doing the narrator voice to read the book. So the book is read with an English accent, and it's very rich. And then the elves are supposed to sound very upper class British, and then the humans are supposed to sound a little lower class. But there's only really one human in the whole book, and it's a female voice. So I'm just doing my best not to sound like a drag queen.
I was going to ask, that was going to be my next question. I've never heard you do a female accent, sorry, a female voice. Is that challenging? And how do you approach that?
Well, the first submission I made, it was, well, she's not 90, you know, okay. Because I always have that Mrs. Doubtfire in my head.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you? I'm so glad to have you.
No, Mrs. Hudson.
So now she's just... She talks very softly, like, and I try not to put too much baritone into the voice and just try and keep it there.
Oh, there you go. That's not too bad. I mean, I think that is one of the most challenging things for a reader, a male reader, to do is female voices. For some reason, when a female's doing male voices, it's not as jarring.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that old joke of, well, are you doing female voices like Scott Sigler, or are you actually able to do them? So, you know, there's definitely a bar that you don't want to slip past.
Absolutely. But, you know, like Scott Sigler's just signature, like his female voices, you know that they're going to be terrible, but they're great.
But he does it with such confidence, and he puts as much into it as he can. He doesn't hold back. Yeah. So there is genuine feeling there, so you're able to forgive it.
Yep, exactly.
Although I'm very glad he is not reading alive.
I'm waiting until there's at least 10 or 12 in the can before I start that one. I find his books read by a different narrator hard to get into right away if it's just one chapter at a time. So I like to build up a bit of a kitty and then hit it all at once.
The voice that he's got is fantastic, and it is perfect for the story.
Excellent.
I'm a big fan of it. I'm one of the few junkies out there who's actually really glad that other people are reading his books, not because I definitely have developed a relationship with Scott's voice and I'm right there with all the other junkies, but I really want more content. So give me other voices. And he's picked some top notch people so far.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They're amazing.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy his books. They're great.
So when you finish this audiobook, what's on the horizon? What's the next thing?
Well, hopefully another audiobook. I'd like to get into doing a lot of them, honestly.
How are you finding gigs for this? Like, how do you connect with people?
Well, this one I did an audition through ACXA to Jennifer. Denise let me know that she was looking for a narrator. So now that I've got an ACXA account set up, I'll just start doing some auditions. I've done a lot of voiceover commercial auditions here back home, but, you know, second place all the time because I have no actual in-studio experience.
Right.
You know, so that it's a tough market to break into, and I'm not really into it, so I don't have the drive for that. I'd much rather read books and, you know, do fun characters and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So where can my listeners find you if they want to hear more of your voice?
Well, you can find me at the Flash Mob on the Flash Casts. The older ones. I haven't done one for a while. I've got a couple written, but I've just not had time to record them. And other than that, my other stuff for New Fiction Writers sort of pod faded about 2 years ago. So I don't have any of those short stories up. I did read a podcast for Scott Roche that was on the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences for them last month. And I'm always up to do guest spots on people's podcasts or read their short stories for them. So I'll be around.
And they can find you. Are you on Twitter? I can't remember.
I am not on Twitter.
But you're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook.
So we'll link to you on Facebook and they can find you there. Thank you so much for joining us. This was a blast. I'm so happy to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me. I've been listening to the Dog Days and just it's been awesome. Everybody's doing a great job.
Thanks so much. All right. Stay cool, everyone. Bye.
Crack two plot points into a large mixing bowl.
Add 1 cup oil of protagonist.
Add a few drops of dialogue.
Sift in 3 tablespoons of antagonist.
Mince a few action scenes and make sure fully incorporated.
Sprinkle liberally with minor characters.
Stir vigorously.
Drizzle in warm, buttery conflict.
Pour into a 9x13 notebook.
Bake at 325 degrees.
Done.
Writing's as easy as cooking, right?
Yeah, right.
Writing's not easy, and you need a break. But if you're taking a break, and you're not up for cooking either, come hang out in the disaster kitchen of The Melting Podcast.
The Melting Podcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything from everyone, everywhere.
Micro stories.
Interviews. Flash fiction stories back to back based on the same writing prompt. And most importantly, bad food puns. Because food makes everything better, right?
Come dine at themeltingpodcast.com.
Right?
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.